wonderful, isn't it? You know, we go through very difficult circumstances, and the Lord doesn't shelter us from difficult circumstances. He makes no attempt to shelter us from difficult circumstances, but he's always there with us right the way through them. And that fits in very nicely with what I want to talk about today. Because the word I want to bring today is a word about hope. And it's no secret that the world we're living through is in difficult circumstances. We're living through difficult times. And they're going to get even more so. But we have a hope. And it's holding on to that hope. And holding on to it through sometimes the most difficult of circumstances. I'm going to go through some very well-known scriptures this morning. So I want you to bear with me, because when scriptures are very well-known, we're saying them ahead. Because we've held on to them for years. But I want you to bear with me. And the place I'm starting is in Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. I don't think there's one among us that hasn't held on to this word at some time or another. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The thing is, we take that verse in isolation, and it's a wonderful, wonderful truth. But the fact of the matter is, it was sent to a nation in exile. Jeremiah wrote this in a letter to those people who had just lost everything. When this letter was written, the people who had been taken into exile were all the skilled people. They were the craftspeople. They'd done very well in life, thank you. And they had lost the lot. Some of them didn't even go with the clothes on their backs. And it must have seemed strange to them to hear the words that Jeremiah wrote, that the Lord was speaking to them. You don't need to turn to it, but in Psalm 137, verse 4, this is how they really felt. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That was what was really in their hearts. And then they get this letter that says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. Right at that moment, they saw no future. And right at that moment, they were bereft of hope. But right at that moment, the word of the Lord arrived. We're not always aware of the Lord's good intentions towards us. And it's often in our most difficult times, in fact, it usually is in our most difficult times and our darkest times, that we need to be reminded that we have a hope. And I want to look at two places where we can gather that hope from. And the first one is in the Word of God. We hold on to all of the truth that is in the Word of God. You don't need to turn to them. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His Word I do hope. Because the Lord has spoken to each and every one of us. At some time or another, He has given a very personal word, or there has something that has come from the scriptures that has really touched our hearts. In His word, I do hope. Psalm 119, verse 414, excuse me. That's Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. Again, I hope in your word. You have spoken. That's what I'm holding on to. You see, the exiles that Jeremiah wrote to were going to be in exile for a very long time. In fact, some of them would never go home. Some of them would never see the fulfillment of these words that the Lord had sent through the hand of Jeremiah. But their children would. Their grandchildren would. This word was given to the people to help them, to encourage them, and to pass on to the generation that was following, to encourage and to help them. Psalm 119, verse 49 is one of those words that I hold on to over and over. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have caused me to hope. That's a prayer. That's what we come to God with. Lord, I've got my requests, and sometimes out of the great goodness of his heart, the Lord will grant our requests. But when the word is initiated in heaven, and the Lord himself has spoken, that word he has to fulfill. You have spoken. In that word is my hope. Sometimes we have to wait a long time for the word to come about, but it always does. And Proverbs 13, verse 12 recognizes hope deferred makes the heart sick. Yes, sometimes we do wait a long time, but there's an end to that verse, as there always is. There's always two halves to the verses in Proverbs. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Our hope in the Word of God is not in something futile or some maybe. It's as strong as the ground beneath our feet. The Lord has spoken. In that word we hope, and that is what we are waiting for. That's the word of God. But more importantly, there's the God of the word. And that's who we truly find our hope in. And I want to look at two people who were in desperate and difficult and dark situations, and how they handled them and came from a place of despair to a place of hope. And the first place I'm in is Psalm 42. Yet again, it's a psalm that we know well. We don't know who wrote this, but whoever it was somebody in very difficult times, somebody who was exiled from Judah, somebody who was a long way from Jerusalem with no hope of going there at that moment. They were in a dark place. And they start off in verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. This person has nothing. If the Lord doesn't turn up, I need you, Lord. Verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now remember, this was written in the Old Testament when being in Jerusalem and being at the place of worship in Jerusalem, being at the temple, was the most important thing. And that's what this person wanted. They couldn't get to Jerusalem. When shall I come? When shall I be back in Jerusalem? When will I be worshiping back with my people, back before you, Lord? And this really says where they are. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. That's a hard place to be. And I think there are an awful lot of people here who know that place. My tears have been my food day and night. The Lord doesn't shield us from these times. They happen. While they say to me, where is your God? There were mockers. There were scoffers. There were people who said, why do you hold on to God? Look at you. Look at where you are. But this man held on. He doesn't dwell on it. And from this dark, dark place, he turns himself around. He has a response. He continues, when I remember these things. And as we will discover, remembering is a key in turning ourselves around and facing up truly to the hope that we have in God. Remembering is a choice. It's a deliberate act. And what he remembers is this, and we're at the end of verse 4. I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. It hadn't always been this way. And sometimes when we're in a dark place, we can think, it overwhelms us, and we think, it's been like this for a very long time, because time lengthens when it's dark. Time's short when it's light, but time's long when it's dark. But he remembered. It wasn't always this way. There was a time when I was in Jerusalem. There was a time when I sang and I praised. And that causes him, if we go back to the beginning of verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. You know, the thing is, he doesn't try and hide it. He pours the whole thing out. Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. That's the place he brings himself to. He asks himself the question. Well, the answers are obvious. He's a long way from home. He's got people who are trying to bring him down, people who are trying to discourage him. Why are you disquieted? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There will be a time I will be back in Jerusalem, but even if I don't, I'm here, and I will praise him for the help of his countenance. And he repeats it again in verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is downcast, is cast down within me. Now he's not talking to himself. Now he's talking to the Lord. Because it's one thing to have it out with ourselves. It's another to have it out with God. And we need to do both. Why? Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore. Strange place to put a therefore, isn't it? This being the case, oh my God, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I'm going to womp a whole packet of chocolate digestives. I don't think I'm alone with that kind of response. But this man isn't that way. Oh my God, my soul is downcast, cast down within me, therefore, this being the case, since this is so, I will remember you. And it's that immediate link between my soul is downcast, therefore I will remember you. And it's the immediacy of moving from one to the other, from the land of the Jordan, from the height of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. And that's from that I will remember you in the whole of the country. Jordan was the center. Hermon was the extreme boundary, and Mizar was a small hill. So it's from the great, the long, the small, wherever I am, I will remember you. And it's in the remembering that he causes himself to refocus. And this causes him to understand, in verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I may not be able to sing in Jerusalem, but I can sing here. And he speaks to himself one last time. Verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. It's his decision and determination to praise God in spite of his present situation that seals his movement from despair to hope. I want to look at somebody else who had a similar journey. And I want to look at Jeremiah, the one who wrote these words that we have just read. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he lived through the awful times that had been prophesied for so many hundreds of years. Return to me or else. Jeremiah lived through the or else. He lived through the horrors of the siege of Jerusalem. He lived through the invasions. He witnessed the exiles being taken. He witnessed famine. He witnessed cannibalism. You read the Lamentations and it's all there. It is terrible. He was hungry when food became scarce, and he was thirsty when water was unavailable. And he also had his own past. Jeremiah was a faithful prophet of God, and it had cost him dearly. In the Lamentations 1, 2, 4, and 5, he mostly speaks about what's happening to the nation. But in Lamentations 3, it's a mixture of what's happening to him personally, and what's happening to the nation too. And it's from Lamentations 3 that I'm going to take the verses. I'm not going to read them, but the first 16 verses are a litany of difficulties and awful things and hard times. And he's talking about God, but he's not talking to him. And it leaves him at a crucial point. He's not exactly blaming God, but God's left him in a very difficult place. We'll pick it up at verse 17. Now he's talking to God. You have moved my soul far from peace. I'm not in a good place, God, and it's you that's moved me. I have forgotten prosperity, literally the good. In other words, it's so long since I saw something that was good, I've forgotten what it is. And then in verse 18, it leaves him in this place. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. The very act of pouring out his heart has left him completely and utterly drained, going through all these awful circumstances. And I would encourage you when you get home, read them. Going through all these awful circumstances has left him in a place where he feels bereft of hope. This is the man who 10 years earlier had written the words that we started with. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, for a future and a hope. And it almost seems as though Jeremiah has forgotten those words. And sometimes that happens, doesn't it? The Lord encourages us, and we hold on to a word, and then something happens that completely blindsides us. And where was that word that God gave us? For the moment, it's gone. At this particular moment, Jeremiah seems to have forgotten what God has said. So how did he deal with all of his suffering? Well, the fact is he recognized what was pulling him down, and he knew what was going to pull him up. Contrast verses 20 and 21. Here's verse 20. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. All that he said in verses 1 to 19 is going over and over and over. And he's not exaggerating. He's not making things seem worse than they are. They truly were as terrible as he was writing them. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Then we get to 21. This I recall to mind. We're in the same place. This I remember. Therefore, I have hope. And in one verse, in one movement, away from the circumstances, focusing, we will look at the moment what this is that he remembers. He brings himself from a place of despair to a place of hope. So let's have a look at what it is. What's the this that Jeremiah recalls to mind? Because it's a conscious decision that he has made. We're in verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Stop there. There's not a soul in this congregation doesn't know these verses inside out and backwards. Stop there. And think about this. The steadfast love, that's the immovable, unchangeable love of God never ceases for you, for me, for all his own. This is the covenant love of God. In these verses, Jeremiah is going to use three covenant terms, and steadfast love is one of them. It's a love that is merciful towards those who are repentant. It's a love that brings strength. It's a love that cares, and it is immovable and unchanging, and it never ceases. That means it never runs out. There is no end. That to us is inconceivable. We don't understand something not having an end. But the love of God has no end. The steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. This is another covenant word. And this isn't mercy in the sense of forgiveness for sin. That's included in the first term. The root of this word is womb. This is the tender compassion of God. When he remembers how frail we are, that we are dust. And in his mercy and his love and his tender compassion, he rushes towards us and holds us and carries us and lifts us and bears us and is with us. Gary said, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, he is with us. That's his tender compassion that never leaves us. His mercies never come to an end. Again, they don't run out. But God doesn't have a stock, and when it's gone, it's gone. It is endless, always, always there. They are new every morning. And in scripture, that word new usually doesn't mean never been seen before. It means fresh. This tender compassion of God is fresh. Every morning. My son, my daughter, I see you are in need. You've come to me. Here it is again and again and again. Day after day after day after day. I see the difficulty that you are in. Come to me. I see the place that you are in. I see the darkness that you are in. Come to me. It's fresh every morning. The mercies, that tender compassion of God, never comes to an end. They are new every morning. And then, now he's talking to God again. And he's only got one thing to say. Great is your faithfulness. That's the other covenant word of God. This is a God who's going nowhere. We are his. He has paid a terrible price for us. We are bought with the blood of his son. We are infinitely precious to him. He is faithful. In his heart, Jeremiah knew and trusted God to be the God of love and faithfulness. And therefore, each one of those things gave him hope. You contrast the list of complaints, went from verse 1 to verse 19, and then just the few verses that it took to turn him round. Because all he did was took his eyes off the situation, and the situation was real. He took his eyes off the situation and remembered what he knew of God, and he poured out the truth of who God is. Therefore, I have hope. There are common features to both of these men. First is their honesty. They didn't try and mask the situation that they were in. They poured it out before God with weeping at times. But they brought it all to the feet of the Lord and poured it all out. But they didn't dwell on it. And that's the critical thing. They didn't dwell on it. They remembered everything they knew to be true of God. My soul, why are you cast down within me? Therefore, I'm in this place. Therefore, I'm going to remember everything I know to be true of God. And then they chose to keep that hope of God. I've got two verses I want to close with. I'll give one of them to Jeremiah. This was written many years earlier. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, in fact. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. And this is the kind of person they are, the one whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That's the promise for those whose hope is in the Lord, no matter what the situation right now. That's the promise for those whose hope is in the Lord. Our roots are in Christ. We are rooted and grounded in Him. There is nothing that can hinder us from bearing fruit from the Lord when we have our hope in Him. And there is no place where we are out of reach of the Lord or where He does not care for us. So those words of Jeremiah in 29:11, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope we can hold on to with a real certainty." And I want to finish with words from Paul. We're in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And this is Paul's summing up at the end of his letter to the Roman church. Romans 15, verse 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That's what He wants for us. No matter how dark the circumstances, no matter how long they go on for, we serve a God of hope.